Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Brother, I need a little more monitor. I got some, my voice is about shot here. Mark chapter 2. Verse 1 through 12, and again, he entered into Capernaum. We're talking about Jesus here. After some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not such so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk.' But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth given to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" Lord, touch us right now. Touch your servant, Lord, I pray. Have your way right now, God. Lord, touch us in a mighty way. Let your will be done. We give you the praise and the glory. We need you, God, right now in Jesus' name. Touch every heart here tonight, every need, every situation, God. We believe that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think in Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to speak to you. This is desperate times that require desperate men. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to point out a portion of this scripture. It was noised that he was in the house. Many gathered together straightway or immediately. The Bible says that Jesus has come back to Capernaum. The scripture says it was noised abroad. Noised abroad in the Greek is the word ekio. It means acoustics. And then New King James says that the people heard that Jesus was in the house. Folks, I would say that the greatest PR that you can do in the church is to noise everywhere that Jesus is in the house. Amen? We need to let people know that Jesus, he's in the house. Hallelujah. If you really want to market the church, what you ought to be telling people is that Jesus is in the house. You see, you don't have to know my name. You don't even have to like me. Amen. You don't have to be best friends with me. And I hope that you are. But if you can just remember that Jesus is in the house, you won't be worried over who is preaching. Folks, if you ever are going to change our world and change the spiritual landscape of the community, somebody who walks up into the church every week must be excited about the fact that Jesus, he's in the house. Hallelujah. But the point is this. You see, we can have programs. We can have top programs and activities and top of the activities, but I still believe that what gathers people together is some sense that they get here, and he will be here. Hallelujah. So let me assure you of something tonight, folks. The Creator of heaven is in this house. The one who flung the stars into place is in this house tonight. The one who walks on water, he's in this house tonight. The one that makes the lame to walk and the dumb to hear and the dumb to talk, he's in the house tonight. Amen. The deaf ear is open in this house. The blind eye healer is in this house tonight. The chief shepherd is in the house tonight. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is in the house tonight. Hallelujah. You see, if we're ever going to have revival and fill this church, it's going to be because we let people know the simple fact that Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah. When he is in the house, desperate people show up. Amen. The desperate people do desperate things in a world that is increasingly searching for answers. We need to let them know that, folks, we know the one who has the answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, desperate times demand unity. Amen. You see, this man being born of four, he was carried. In other words, it took all four of them working together to get the job done, to get this man to Jesus Christ. Think of the firefighters and the police officers that charged into the World Trade Center on September 11th. How many of them died that day, folks? But think of this. How many that they saved? How? By working together to get the people out of the building. I'm telling you, unity is important. Think about this church, the Church of Jesus Christ, COP. And folks, we must stay unified. If we're going to do the job that Jesus wants us to do, we need to look out for one another. We need to love one another. We need to pray for each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to strengthen each other. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, or we could say as we see that coming of the Lord approaching. We must pull together at this time. Unity means setting aside our pettiness. The times are too desperate, folks. The need is too great for us to focus on petty things. It's not time for us to be in each other's throats. It's not time for us to nitpicking each other to death. It's not time to be focused on everything that is negative. It's not time to lay aside pettiness and move forward in the kingdom of God. Let's worship Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Desperate times require desperate measure. It's not time to play around. Notice what these men did when they couldn't get to Jesus through the door. Amen. They climbed up on top of the roof and they began to tear a hole in it. I want you to imagine the scene. See, Jesus is talking to the crowd, and all of a sudden, the dirt and the dust begin to fall from the ceiling. And pretty soon, arms begin to reach down in. And then you see a man on a pallet being let down into the room. Folks, we need to understand, we must seek God like never before. Hallelujah. We must come to church. We must touch Him like never before. Those men could have said, hey, wait a minute. It's too difficult. We can't afford to come to church and allow distractions to keep us from touching Him, folks. I can't worship because it's too hot in the church. I can't worship because it's too cold. I can't worship because it's too loud. I can't worship because it's too quiet. I don't like the person either sitting next to me. I'm mad because so-and-so didn't sit next to me. I'm mad because somebody sat in my spot. Hey, I had a bad week. I had a bad year. here. I had a bad lifetime. I had someone would say, whatever, I'm going to see Jesus. Whatever, folks, I come to worship Jesus. Give me a little more monitor. What I'm saying is those are all excuses. And excuses are like feet. Everybody has a couple of them. And they all stink. Come on, we need to worship like never before. We need to pray around these altars like never before. We need to bring people like never before. Come on. I'm talking about being apostolic. I'm talking about desperate times tonight. We need some desperate people. Say, God, you got to move in my midst. Notice what it said in verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith. Come on. I want to know if Jesus, when he looks at you, he sees faith. Come on. And he saw their faith. In other words, not when he saw the faith of the sick man. Well, we want to put it off sometimes on the sick people. We need to have faith. Come on. Jesus saw the faith of some men that were willing to go an extra mile to help somebody. Jesus saw the faith of some men that were willing to rip a roof apart. Amen. And drop them down. I don't care what it takes. I'm getting this person to God. Why would they take all that time? Why would they take all that effort? Because they knew a man like God that could make a difference. I wonder sometimes, do we really think God will make a difference in our loved ones? Do we really think that God will make a difference in our coworkers? Do we really feel that God will make a difference in our neighbors? Amen. Then why don't we go the extra mile? Why don't we tear back some roof last? Why don't we carry him up some places? Come on, folks. Why don't we carry him up in prayer? Why don't we do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus? Because he's in the house. In other words, not when he saw the faith of the sick man, but when he saw the faith of the ones that carried him. He said unto the man sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, we need to desperately to understand this, folks. God isn't waiting for the faith of those in need to increase before he moves. He is waiting for the faith of his people to increase. He is waiting for the faith of this church to increase. And then he will move in Mark 2, verse 6. But these were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart. You see, the other saints were reasoning in their heart. Notice what what it says. They were sitting there. Sitting there. I have never figured out why those that do nothing feel qualified to judge those that do. Come on. Come on. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Isn't it amazing how the scornful are always sitting around? Don't get quiet on me. I'll park right here for a minute. Come on. Isn't it amazing how those that like to sit around and complain are always sitting around? Theodore Roosevelt, he said this. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or whether the doer or deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred and by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms and the great devotions and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of the high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Why, folks, we understand this today. We are in desperate times. If you can't see that, somebody needs to feel your pulse. We are in desperate times. We may have to take some risk. Both of us, both folks, we need to take risks both as body and as individual. As a church and as individuals, we have to take some risks today. And folks, we may have to take the chance that somebody is going to reject us. Come on. We may have to take the chance that we may fail. We may have to take the chance of looking like a fool. But we must try to reach the lost world. Get rid of your pride and try. Mark 2, verse 8 through 12. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, folks, he arose, he took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never saw it on this fashion. We must decide that from now on, hear me tonight, folks, that from now on, I'm going to live for God with all of my heart. From now on, I'm going to worship and praise God with everything within me. From now on, folks, I'm going to be involved to the fullest of my ability. I want to, folks, I want it so that they can at least say, we never saw it on this fashion. How about it tonight? If there's an apostolic that people are going to be able to look at and say, I've never seen anybody love God as much as that person. I've never seen anybody work for God as much as that person does. I've never seen anybody care for lost souls as much as that person does. Is there any apostolics in the house? I've never seen it on this fashion before. Here we stand in the house tonight. Is there anybody in this house tonight that will come up here and say, God, I'm sorry for my slacking. I'm sorry, God, for not loving you like I should. God, I'm sorry, God, that I haven't done more for you. But God, tonight, amen, tonight's going to be different. From now on, God, I'm going to worship you with all of my heart. From now on, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to teach Bible studies like I've never taught before. Is there any apostolics in the house tonight? Come on, this altar's open. This altar's open tonight. Come on, it's desperate times. It requires desperate people to take an action. Hallelujah, God. Help us here tonight to leave here differently. Help us to leave here differently tonight.